Hallelujah. So why don't you stretch your faith this way and just help me as your pastor and friend. And just, hallelujah, sponsor me in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So Father, I worship You. I receive what I know that's already here, and that's grace. Strength from my brothers and sisters. And mostly agape. Mostly agape. And I worship You. I receive Your Word, Your grace. Thank You for already honoring our mothers and all things that You're doing presently. I receive it by Your grace. Thank You for it, Father. Thank You for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'd want you to stay with me for a little bit. There's some current events that are good, and I want you to be aware of them. Most of you are aware of them. If you're not, you will be. And there's so much exposure going on right now. I've had so many calls, so many people ask concerning some of the current events, spiritual events. And I really would resist saying anything, because mostly what I want to be, all of what I want to be, is a conduit for God's glory and everything that He's doing in the earth. And my predisposition is this, that's what I walk in, and what you should walk in, is a sense of acceptance and a sense of a readiness to receive. It's a scriptural word that we'll look at a little bit later. But I want you to just stay with me. If you'll hear it from beginning to end, I believe you'll hear the mind of Christ. And you'll hear more of a readiness than a closure. But if you'll hear it from beginning to end, what you'll hear is the mind of Christ. So this will go out other places too, because a lot of people, other people besides us, have been asking questions. So wouldn't you like to hear it in this kind of atmosphere? Hallelujah. So there's a move of God going on in Lakeland. Aren't you glad? Amen. Glory to God. And it's noted by miracles and presence. This thing keeps growing bigger and bigger. I think they had it at the airport last night. Is that right? Or it was so big? We've heard a lot of good things. Mainly miracles. How many of you know we like miracles around here? Miracles and presence. So we've had people that I trust that have also visited, and a lot of you are visiting by website, and some of you are visiting physically, and that's wonderful. And people that I trust have said, man, all we've seen is good. And presence has been wonderful. And miracles have been wonderful. And so, those of you that don't know, but it's getting out there real well right now. And like I said, I've had a lot of phone calls. I've had two or three, maybe more, out-of-state phone calls. And a lot of people locally. And so it's like this. This is also my predisposition recently, because I'm growing like everybody else. Pastor Dave had a vision about a year ago. And it slowed him down on saying things and doing things, as in when he considered other ministries. And so I'd say the same thing about myself, hearing what has been said to him and also knowing the grace of God that's growing in my own life. Hey, what I would rather do is this. I'd just rather do what I'm doing. Just pray, seek God, fast, study the Word, and enjoy every good thing that comes down the pike. Hallelujah. That's where I'm at. I have not been assigned, as some would assign themselves, as God's cop in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just freeloading. Not freeloading. I like staying in here, but if there's a hippie for Jesus, I could just lay back and enjoy, hallelujah, the ride. Hallelujah. This is being hosted by Stephen Strader, which is Carl Strader's son. Lakeland has a history with me. Candy and I graduated high school, got married the next month, and then 6 months later, we moved to Lakeland. And that 6 months has been a while ago. In fact, next month it'll be 30 years. The 24th will be 30 years. Hallelujah. I think we're going to make it. So we moved to Lakeland. So I can tell you what, Lakeland is a college town. There's a few colleges there, a couple. And then there's Southeastern Bible College, now as a university status. A couple years ago, turned into a university. And they've been praying, I'm sure. The man that's hosting it, I don't know him, but I had met his father, or let's say I had, even as a young whippersnapper in the faith, I'd sit in on meetings where he was at, and he was, that's Carl Strader, and he was a prince of a man as far as I could see. Most wonderful. All I could say is, as a college student, I sat in on some closed meetings. And even when I was confused about a lot of things, about the way things were being run in the denomination that I was in, the man had a diplomacy about him. And more than anything else, the same thing that caught my attention about Pastor Dave Roberson was humility and agape. It's the same thing that I felt that Pastor Carl possessed. And it was just, it captivated me as a young man. And I watched him. He was a progressive. And I don't know, he's probably retired now, or I think he's turned the reins over to Stephen. Progressive in that he took a lot of flack in his day by having a lot of people in that were doing, quote, things that were not acceptable in the denomination that I was in at the time. But he was a cutting edge kind of guy, because not because he was trying to be different, he just loved God, just wanted God. So if Stephen is anything like his dad, and probably is, he has that same disposition about him to want everything from God. So you'll know where I'm going with this after a while. And it's perfect in the mind of Christ, I believe, because it's birthed out of love. But these things are real important that you understand the foundation, because this thing will probably, it may grow and grow, and boy, do I want it to. Yeah, so you'll hear more and more if you're not hearing now. So I want you to hear all this, and then we'll probably be like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But you need to hear this. So, Stephen Strader is the one that's hosting it. The evangelist is Todd Bentley. And Lakeland is the place. And so let me say this about Lakeland and about what's going on to this measure at this point. You that have been part of this for a while, you know that revival, and they're not necessarily calling it revival. I don't know exactly what they're saying. I think they're being careful and letting God kind of define it. But any major outpouring, understand this, we'll say it again because we enjoy saying it and we know it to be true. It is not sovereign. It's not sovereign. Meaning God doesn't just pick somebody because I like the back of your head, or I like the city, And I'm going to just pour out my spirit here. And it doesn't matter what any of you guys do, any other place, fast, pray, do whatever you want to do, quote the word, walk the floor, do whatever. I'm going to pour out my spirit here mainly to show you that I am God and I can do whatever I want. No, the fact of the matter is He is God and He can do what He wants. And what He wants is us to believe His Word. And His Word says that if we believe that He is and that He is, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, way beyond our knowledge, and that doesn't even, it doesn't even have to be to my knowledge as far as I don't have to know everything about it. Hey, as far as I know, since I left 20-something years ago, the college kids at Southeastern may have been seeking God for a great thing. An outpouring can come one or two ways. Either it can come by the people in the location seeking God and opening up the heavens, or it can come by the person or people who are bringing it to that particular location. In other words, in the revival, once you receive a revival status, per se, if it does come through you or comes through me or comes through Pastor Dave, that is an innate characteristic. It abides in you. And once you've reached that place where the Holy Spirit can roll that over on you and you've walked into that place of spirituality where those things can be entrusted to you and you will manage them and you will walk in them and you're open to them, you have to be open, then you can go any place in the world, and where you plant your feet, that tsunami effect will begin to saturate the people. And as a result, then the people themselves will begin to do the things that are conducive to the outpouring. So one of those, or possibly both of those, have been happening in Lakeland. And we don't know. We don't know. But I'm just thankful that it's happening. Hallelujah. I'm just thankful that it's happening. Glory be to God. Are you with me so far? This is to those that I've talked to, and I haven't seen it myself, and it's not because I'm resisting watching or even going. In fact, the Holy Spirit told me something like this. You know, when you break bread with somebody, or you're around them, or you watch them in the Spirit, it softens you towards them, and it softens you towards their ministry, and it helps you have a sense of unity, even intensifies that. It can. But you know what I love about the Holy Spirit and the walk that we're on and the walk that others are on? This is what He's whispered to me. He said, "Son, my place of presence in your life," and this means to anybody that will give Him a place of intimacy, "will even supersede the things of the natural." Meaning that if you love God and you spend time with Him, that prepares your heart in a sense of openness, generosity, acceptance towards others, even beyond what even natural things can do. And natural things can prepare you and help you to say, "I want to be a part of what's going on." But our link to whatever God's doing out there in the world is not whether or not we're exposed or not. And I will be exposed, and I thank God for it, but to some whatever measure He tells me. But this is the walk that we're on. This is the walk that I'm assuming and believing in a positive manner that they're on. One of intimacy. One of concourse with God. A process where the Holy Spirit is able to open up their lives more and more to the Word of God. Now, having said that, let me say this. Those that have went and have come back have said that the miracles are there, the presence is there in a tremendous, tremendous way. They're not yet, I'd say with a big underline, yet, seeing the Book of Acts miracles that we would consider. That doesn't mean that when it starts here, it's going to start from 0 to 100. I haven't been in a revival yet. There's some things that I don't know. A lot of things that I don't know. Miracles are happening. Not everybody is getting healed. How many of you know in God's economy and what God wants? He wants everybody healed. I don't know. I really don't know. And maybe it has happened, but I have not heard anybody tell me that the maimed have been made whole. And that doesn't mean that there is not notable miracles taking place. I know that there's been blind eyes open. I know that people have gotten out of wheelchairs. My God, and I say thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. A number have gotten up. A number have gotten healed. Hallelujah. Now, I will say this, because this is going to stand as something that I can say, okay, this, we already did this service. And like I said, I'll have my Forrest Gump response. It's about all I got to say about that, except to enjoy it. Personal appearance and preferences are not a problem for me. They're not a problem for me. I might not want my son to emulate certain appearances, but I'm like Pastor Dave used to say, if a kid on a tricycle can come by, lay his hands on me, and get me to another place, spirituality and God, then pull over, boy. And I can tell you with all honesty, this is not a smack of trying to get you to believe. I'd hold their coats in the back room, listen to everything they got to say. If they can get over to me, something that'll get me one step closer. Because I want more of Jesus. Did you hear me? I want a genuine outpouring of Christ. So that's my willingness to receive. And as I said, I've tried to watch, and so somebody will help me with that. Get on there. This is what I know. Preface to this. I've read some stuff by Rick Joyner, and that's Morningstar Ministries. You can go on there, morningstarministries.org. He's the guy that wrote The Call and The Final Quest. And I've read both of those, and those are really good, good books. I respect him as a father of the faith. I read some things yesterday. I really absorbed it. I loved it. Some things were new to me. Listen, when something's new to you, especially in talk about mantles and those kinds of things, you understand, you just, if things are new, they're just new. And you just put them on a shelf and let God talk to you about them. In fact, we're going to go to Scripture. All this is in preparation for the Scripture that we're going to use in just a moment to kind of just help you prepare yourself for the days ahead in a good sense of the word. How many say amen with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Rick had a lot to say, and he endorsed Todd Bentley. Now, that's his endorsement, but I will say I respect Rick Joyner, and I think he's a godly man and a prophet. So I'm listening, and I'm listening. I would say this is what I all want you to get, and if you can write this down, in preparation for you to enjoy all these things, even if you're mature spiritually, or consider yourself to be spiritually aware, mature, that you would, I would recommend Gary Carpenter's last Sunday's 8:30 service. And it was called Ammunition Against Deception. And you can go on Gary Carpenter .org. Ammunition Against Deception. If you don't have access to a computer, Kathy's holding up. She's got some of those CDs in the back. We've got 10, a dozen. Make sure you get one and listen to it. It's a powerfully balanced approach to miracles and doctrine. I think Gary does a half and half. He talks about he gives some real fundamental things in the first half of the service, and he begins to name some names, not any of the ones that I've particularly mentioned right now. But he talks about some doctrines that are going on and some people that have come public. Now let me tell you this, what is proper protocol spiritually? If a man or woman goes public with something, if they come out, not if me or Matt are talking behind closed doors or Homer or somebody, and I say something and later God corrects me, then that's between me and God and maybe my friends. But if somebody goes public, I mean they preach it from the pulpit, or they write a book on it, or they're seen on TV, it's okay if done in the right spirit that you speak and say their name. Because they went public with it. They're the first one that, if you're talking about something. So there are certain people that he talked about in a good sense as far as in correction. And you would be surprised at some of the people that have come out with books and said some things that just you don't even think of, like Christ is not the Messiah to the Jewish people. Now, I'll let you listen to all that because that's in there and I don't have to re-preach that or teach that. But Gary gives a tremendously balanced approach. It's kind of a let you decide kind of thing. It's ammunition. Look at this. Consider this. One of his main premises is this. We want to be open. We don't want to be like the scribes and Pharisees and stop any move of the Spirit. We want to be just totally open. But we also do not want to do that at the expense of sound doctrine. And he gives some tremendous biblical examples. One of them is just talking about Peter on the day of Pentecost and the ensuing revival. That Peter's doctrine was by far not perfect. Meaning this, it's not always a prerequisite that you have to have sound doctrine for great miracles to take place. Hallelujah. But it is important. Let me say this, I want to kind of piggyback this morning for a few minutes. I want to give you some more ammunition. I want to say maybe this is ammunition too. Or maybe it's three or four. Maybe Gary's already doing something on it this morning. So maybe it's three or four. I'll also say this. Same thing Gary said last week. Just because I'm mentioning Gary's name doesn't mean that Gary is endorsing what I'm about to say. Okay? So if you hear by website, me mention Gary Carpenter, things that I'm about to say stands on this ministry. Amen. So I want to relieve Gary of any of that. I want to just say this. Why a need for the mention of such titles as ammunition against deception? Why would you even bring that up, Pastor, at this point in time? I mean, why not just say all the beautiful things that you've already said and just leave it at that? Why would you even mention a footnote, like go to this footnote, like Gary Carpenter Ministries, and listen to this tape or this CD, and that'll best prepare you for whatever's going on in a good sense of the word? Why would you mention that, and why would you highlight it, and it being a tape or a teaching on ammunition against deception? Sometimes preachers don't explain themselves, and sometimes they'll say like this, you know, they'll say, boy, that is really good what's going on. And then they'll just tell you, be careful. I think that's worse than not telling somebody something. If you tell it in the right way. If you tell it in the right way. Because sometimes people's imaginations go crazy with them and they're wondering, is there something really wrong with Lakeland? Or is there something really wrong with the ministers that you have mentioned? So I would say this is not in respect to them, it's not something concerning a moral issue. Let me explain. My first encounter with my friend, and when I say my friend, I'm speaking concerning the evangelist. And when I say my friend, I am not saying that in any way as a sense of trying to seem humble towards him. Listen, any man that does a work and gets people out of wheelchairs, Jesus said, you cannot speak lightly against me and do a miracle in my name. So any man of God that does a miracle in the name of Jesus is my friend. Hallelujah. And I respect him. My first encounters with my friend, I've never had a personal encounter, although I have a friend that has met him and through the years has kept me at times abreast of some of the things that would be expressed through his ministry. I will say this, that as I would listen to these things, like anything else, times I would have to put them on the shelf because, quite frankly, they sounded to me, and I'm saying to me, so fantastic that they seemed to border on the sensational. And that was to me. I didn't have, myself personally, the kind of spiritual experiences that I could relate, nor did I know anybody personally around me that were having those particular spiritual experiences. But I did know this. I was not the end of all spirituality. Praise God. Nor were the friends around me the end of all spirituality. In fact, in all reality, I had hoped that much of what I was hearing was genuine, and much of it could have been, in the sense that there was so much more that I didn't know about and wanted from God, and still do. Some time ago, and some tell me it's further than what I had even thought, this particular friend had a particular encounter, now this was public, as far as I know, from I've heard from other people, with a particular angelic encounter. My judgment, according to the Word, everything else was on the shelf. When this particular encounter came forward, my judgment according to the Word and the things that I saw that ensued afterwards, I had to judge. My personal judgment was this, according to the Word and according to the experience that I see after. This encounter was not the right encounter. It was a counterfeit encounter. A counterfeit. Now let me give you the balance to that. Counterfeit encounters does not mean that the one that it comes to is walking in an evil place. Let me clarify that. If you have a counterfeit encounter, like an angel comes to you that it's not really an angel and poses itself as an angel and then tries to get other things done through your ministry or against your ministry, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're walking in an evil place. It can mean this, and this is what I really like to think that it means. It can mean that you're in such a place with God, you're worthy to be stopped. You're worthy to be stopped. And it also could mean that you're so open to the spiritual things of God that the enemy has to come by that means to stop you. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Well, get this out, get it done, and just be blessed. Hallelujah. In fact, my pastor had a counterfeit encounter. Pastor Dave. And if you've heard any of his teachings in the past couple years, some of that comes up. And it was because of his pursuit into God. He had one. Thank God, however long it took him to get past it, a while, I know it was a couple conferences, he got past it. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues is a great help. Hallelujah. One thing that he did do with his encounter was this. He came public with it, and he shared and denounced it, or renounced it, or said, this is what the Holy Spirit has shown me that it is. And this is what he did with that particular encounter. Hallelujah. That's the right thing to do. That's the proper thing to do. When I was reading through Rick Joyner's material and his endorsement, one of the things that I did notice there is that it's just like anything else. If I know Matt, if I know Rex, I know where they've been and where they're going. Now, I'm not sure where my friend's at right now, but I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. And I will say this, Rick Joyner said this, that he appreciated Todd's ministry through the dark night of the soul, meaning there must have been times where the enemy in recent history was really trying to get some things done. Hopefully and prayerfully, and my faith is, you know, my hopeful standpoint is this, is those things have been corrected by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's just believe that and pray for that, and then watch that and understand some of those things. Because, and if those things have been corrected by the Holy Spirit, then I believe that eventually you will hear Him say something about it. Because it was done publicly, I believe it'll also be done, if it is corrected, it'll also be corrected publicly. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I understand at this point in time that wonderful things are happening. When those things happened in the past, there were things that ensued afterwards that, by the Word of God, I just cannot go along with. But that doesn't mean that those things are happening now. Hey, listen, it's possible, because we're all humans, that we go this way for a little bit, possible in ourselves, but how many would not like to be known by the person of 6 months ago? You want to be known as the person of now. And if your pastor gets a little bit off, you're going to stay with him and you're going to keep praying for him so that when he gets back in, that if somebody in the other side of the country says, I heard about that guy, he blah, 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 you can say, well, look, that's right, but my pastor's a praying man, and if he gets off, he's gotten back on. Hallelujah. So let's know people by that way, by the grace of God. I will say this. If things are not corrected, if they're not, and hopefully they are, and there's a program running that is unchecked, always watch everything all the way through. All the way through. Because the strategy of the enemy would be not to present himself at the beginning, but to present himself later on. Wow, this is good. And it's family talk. And I can really see by the Holy Spirit that the scripture that I was wanting to get to, maybe we'll just finish it Wednesday night and have it available for you next Sunday. Because it is a conclusive kind of word thing. And when you hear it, it won't put you in a box or any movement in a box. It'll just continue to prepare you more for what God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's good stuff. Not because it's from me, it's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So turn with me now to Acts chapter 17. Mark that, if you will, and then go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and mark that. We're going to be in Acts 17. I said 16, I think, but we're going to be in 17. Read some scripture there, and then turn over in just a moment afterwards and go to 1 Thessalonians and read some more. In fact, quite a bit of reading here. I will do my best not to comment on every verse. I know you'd like to get some rest tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, we're going to try to finish up what we started Sunday so we don't leave you hanging. So would you stretch your faith this way? Father, we just love you. We give you so much glory and praise and honor, thanksgiving. Receive your grace for all that you're doing now and all that you're going to do. Thank you for your word. Let it just come forth with simplicity. And with love, we worship you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Oh, and you kind of address some of these kind of things out of the Word. One of the things that you want to be sure of is that you don't feel like Well, let's say it like this. James says, mercy rejoices against judgment. And not that we're going into any kind of judgment. I'm just saying that if your heart is where you're wanting to go with the Father and receive all that He's doing and believing the best, hoping the best, 1 Corinthians 13, then you're not ambitious towards having to send up signals of warnings at times and those kinds of things. You just listen and go along with the Word of God and prepare the hearts of the people. And I think that's exactly what we started into Sunday, and we made some recommendations, and one of those recommendations was a teaching that Gary Carpenter has out, and Kathy had some of those copies. It was Ammunition Against Deception, and he's done another one since then on Sunday. And I said in the introduction, I'll say again now, that, you know, wouldn't have to really say this if you know Gary, but if you don't know Gary, tremendous teaching, all word, very balanced, non-judgmental, but just giving some, as the title was, Ammunition Against the Last Day kind of deception. And then he did another one this past Sunday, and I believe that was The Word and the Spirit Agree. So Kathy's also got some of those, and we said we'd make those readily available for anybody that doesn't have internet access. But if you just say, well, I'm just going to be so busy this next week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tune in, or go to garycarpenter.org and pick that up, then we'll just bless you with that tonight. And of course, it's all free of charge, all these things are. Having said that, the best thing, as I was going to say, is when you do teach like this, it's best that you don't feel like a bulldog coming out of a pen that's been fed gunpowder. It's best that you feel the love of God like this. You'll be far freer from the possibilities of making mistakes and error of judgment. The kind that provides the whole body of Christ with enough love and enough wisdom to not be confined, but to go into everything that Christ is, and everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you. Hallelujah. We're going to look here just for a moment, and I won't go through Sunday morning's introduction. It'll probably be part of, if you're listening to it by the website, it'll probably be part of this message, because it was kind of brief, because we had a Mother's Day, so it'll be bleeding into this. However, Kathy checks and sees how the time is. So if you're listening to this for the first time, you'll be getting the introduction if you get Sunday's message, but this is a Wednesday night. So I might refer back a couple of times during this message to what was said on Sunday. We're going to look at Acts chapter 17, and just let me bring you up to speed for just a moment. If you've read through Acts, great. You'll have more of a background understanding on some of the things that we're going to say. We're not going to try to spend too much time in preface up to 17, but 16, of course. In fact, I think Gary uses 16 on his last tape, and he's talking about, and I won't preach that because you can listen to it, but he's talking about the balance between the Spirit and the Word and how they do agree. And he teaches in part a message that we've heard him, I think we actually heard him teach here. If not, I'd heard him teach at the conferences, how that the Holy Spirit has been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And he goes back to how the Word commissions us in Mark chapter 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And yet then he goes to another place, not to bring contradiction, but to bring a proof to what he's saying, how that we have to always, you know, work in the contains of the Word, but yet also be led by the Holy Spirit. And he's picking up, he actually, part of his message is out of Acts 16, where Paul and Silas go to Macedonia and they go to Philippi, but prior to that, they were forbid by the Holy Spirit to go to certain places. And as Gary so eloquently brings out, it would be like, wow, now wait a minute. And one part of the word, that, you know, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then we've got another part of the word saying, the Holy Spirit says to Paul and Silas, don't go to these certain cities that he names here in chapter 16. And so really it's a good teaching on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how these two will always agree. But we're picking up here just as in background on where they do come to in Macedonia is Philippi. And as you know, and if you don't know, I'll tell you, there was a great work that went on there. This is where Paul and Silas were put into jail as a result of Paul casting out a devil. There was a young lady that followed them around for days. And, you know, you would think that when people would say complimentary things to you and call you man or men of God or woman of God, you'd think, wow, that's a, you know, how many have ever been around something or somebody where they were saying the right words, but it was yuck to your spirit? You know, it was like, wow, this is not, I don't understand this because I should be saying glory to God, but when they, you know, when they say this, it's not a confirmation in my spirit about this being truth. Well, this was happening, and Paul put up with it for a while. And this young lady was being used as a fortune teller by certain men in the city. And, you know, her gift was not of God. And so Paul finally was so grieved. You know, he was like, I don't know if he was trying to be nice or if he didn't want to cause a scene or if he thought, okay, God, you're going to take care of this. And eventually God was like, okay, Paul, you got to take care of it. So he just turns, rebukes the devil. The devil comes out. And the lady gets delivered. Well, as a result, you know, isn't it amazing? You'd think that if you did something good, somebody would give you, you know, the keys to the city. They come and arrest them, put them in jail, beat them, put them in jail. And this goes back to a vision that Paul actually had, a night vision he said that he had. He must have told Silas, hey, look, the Holy Spirit's led me. I've had a vision. I saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over here. And there's another teaching that Gary says in there. It's really funny the way he leads up to it. It's like they're sitting there in jail, Paul and Silas bleeding. And it's the middle of the night and, you know, their work has come to this. And then Gary says something like this. So he can just see Silas looking over to Paul and saying, you had a vision, huh? You had something from God, huh? So I always thought that was really good, comical. But here, they come to this place where there's this great, you know, beating and scourging. They're in prison and Philippi. And so what I'm listing this for is the chronological order of things. Then we get to 17. So his ministry they kind of run him out of town. They get word. You know, they besought him and desired them in verse 39 to depart out of the city. This is the brethren. Let's back up just for a minute. Let's start in 37. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. Now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. So the sergeant told them these words, and the magistrate, and they feared that they'd heard that they were Romans, because Paul had a Roman citizenship. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they'd come out of prison, they entered into the house of Lydia. That's a lady that they were staying at her house, as you read chapter 16. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So now we come to 17, and when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, now watch what Paul's manner was. He went in to them, and in three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So what was his base? Any city that he came into, he gathered up the Scriptures and began to try to exhort and teach Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ. And it says here that he was three different Sabbath days, three different services he had, exhorting them or teaching out of the Scripture, opening and alleging, verse 3, that Christ must needs suffer, have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Watch this. I like King James' way it says. It's kind of funny sometimes the way it says a great multitude and the chief women, not a few. Not a few. It's kind of say it in the opposite way, you know. I'd say that's a lot of people. They're saying it was not a few. Okay, I got you. Evidently, there was a big stirring going on. People were believing. The Scriptures that had been ordained to life were stirring people up. And the anointing was stirring people up. And they were coinciding in the ministry of Paul and Silas. And so, in verse 5, the Jews which believed not, now he's always running into those, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That means ugly guys, bad boys, slanderers, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned," I like this, "the world upside down are come hither also." Hallelujah. Now, I don't know that I would like the devil that followed Paul. Jesus, can I separate the two? But I would like to have the testimony that these that have turned the world upside down are here also. Hallelujah. And that should be our ambition in Christ, to live so close to Him that we do stir up in a good sense. People get saved. Devils are dismissed. People's lives are healed emotionally, physically. Wonderful things take place as a result. And that will cause a stirring. Hallelujah. One of the things that He's asking us to do in prayer and fasting is to get our clay jars, our bodies, our souls, tempered enough to withstand the up-and-coming paradox, the diversity between God pouring out more peace on your life and also more trouble, and God not being the initiator of the trouble, but where there is God, there's also persecution. And when we receive this revival in fullness, it'll not all be appreciated, but they will have this testimony. These people are turning the world upside down. Hallelujah. And I'd like to have that testimony of God more than anything else, you know, that man could say about me. And you're going there with me. I'm not alone. Hallelujah. And whom Jason had received, verse 7, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king. And they were saying that Jason and all Paul and all of these were saying that the king was Jesus. Well, they're true. But it wasn't in the sense that they were trying to stir up. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city. And when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. Okay, so we're reading about the Thessalonian revival. Let's turn over to Thessalonians and just hold your place back there in Acts, because we'll go back there just briefly in a moment. Here's where we'll read, and we'll kind of try to read fluently here along so we don't keep you too late here. This is the revival that Paul's talking about in Thessalonians, or he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church at Thessalonica, or Thessalonians, which is in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's a service right there, isn't it? That's a service. We give thanks unto God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came. Now, this is what I want you to see. What happened in those beginning days that we just read about? Our gospel came not unto you in word only. We know that he did go in and reason with them, with the scriptures. But Paul says here, this is something Luke didn't tell us because Luke wrote Acts. But Paul said it didn't come just with word only, but also in power. Hallelujah. There was a strong anointing. And when he's talking about power here, there must have had to have been a demonstration, a real demonstration, like miracles taking place. And it was confirming in the hearts and the minds of the people of Thessalonica, these guys are what they say they are and what their Christ is unto them and what the Scriptures say, because Paul says here, hey, I'm remembering this gospel. Remember this. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, not just the reasoning out of the Scripture, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Must have been a tremendous presence, huh? You knew it was the Holy Ghost. It was just presence. And in much assurance. Hallelujah. I think the good thing about revival meetings and where we're headed, and a lot of good things are happening around the world. And aren't you glad that we're just part of something that's real big? Hallelujah. We are. There's a lot of us out there. But part of I think the best thing about revival is not just the blind seeing, the lame walking, but presence. 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 I love His presence. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He says in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, we've taught on followers, and that's imitators, the word imitate. So that you became examples, Thessalonica, you became also examples that others could imitate. And I'm paraphrasing now, but I'm at 7. So that you were in samples or examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord unto all in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. This is not only there, but in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. It's like the example is just so powerful. It's hardly anything that can be said after you watch your lives and the things that how the Holy Spirit just swept in and caused this great outpouring. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Again, this is where we just read in the book of Acts. And how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Hallelujah. Now just think just for a minute, because Paul, what I want you to see there is this, is Paul is bragging on these people, isn't he? And he's also talking about how powerful the Word was and how powerful the Holy Ghost showed up and brought forth the example of the Word through demonstration. There had to be a tremendous demonstration. But one of the greatest things, I guess, that you can say is that these people were idol worshipers. Now just think, when Paul said that, the weapons of our warfare, if you read that in context in Corinthians where he's talking about that, we use that to our advantage, and it is, and we use that personally, and it is, and it can be. I don't believe that's misconstruing to talk about that it is ours personally, but I really believe that if you read that in conjunction with the overall, when Paul says the weapons of our warfare, us apostles, are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And it talks about what strongholds are, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Individually, it can mean a lot of things. Corporately, to a nation, Paul was saying, we had the power so strong on us that we could go into places like Thessalonica, and when kids were raised from the cradle to believe in an idol, that we could go in there and the demonstration was so strong, and the weaponry of the Word of God was so strong, that it could pull down the believing factors of people's lives that had been schooled and had learned and believed that this carnal thing was a living God, and to take their mindset and transform it over in just a few weeks' time is an absolute miracle. And three Sunday services or three Sabbath day services to get people to believe, glory be to God, that this is not truth, this is truth, and to take them that from that place of transformation in their mind, that is a miracle of all miracles. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. So Paul, again, is exhorting. He said, you know we took you and the power that was there. You turned from idols into a living and true God. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus, whom delivered us from the wrath. Verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. We read that in Acts. And he's reaccounting it. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, remember we showed you he left Philippi and then went over to Thessalonica. So Paul's reaccounting here in his gospel the same thing that Luke was telling us about their journeys together. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold, he said, in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So he says something about Philippi, and he says, then when we got to you, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God, which trieth the hearts, our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Does this look like Paul was really fell in love with these people? I mean, he fell in love with them, and he said, look, not only were we just ministers, it's one thing to teach, to preach, to lay hands. He said, I mean, we wanted to impart me. I mean, we wanted to get intimate. If there was anything left in us, we wanted you to wring it out. We wanted everything that God had in us to be poured out to you. I mean, not a living particle inside of our spirit, inside of our soul, to be left. So there was a tremendous good work, how many of you agree, going on in Thessalonica? So, verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly, unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, now watch this, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. He said, that's right, you should, because it as is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judah are in Christ. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, and to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is to come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So I guess so. Anytime there's a tremendous revival, how many of you think that the enemy would do everything he could to keep this man from getting back there? For what is our hope? For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Amen. Now, reading all that, and there's a great summary of a revival, and we saw how that God turned through him, then from idol worship, and he said, look, this thing came with a demonstration of power, Holy Ghost, a lot of wonderful things being said. And in 13, just to reiterate that just a little bit, he said that you heard it of us and you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth. So he's really, really bragging on these people at Thessalonica. He really is. So he's saying, look, you heard the word, you received the word, and the word was confirmed to you, basically, with demonstration, and it should be. So that's one of the things that we're believing God in this outpouring, is that the things that we teach and say, see, false religion especially, you're not going to get them saved through debate. But if you can love them and they can feel that love, and even though they don't agree with you, because they've got a book, you know, most every false religion's got their book. A lot of them have our book plus theirs. But when they see the demonstration, they'll not be able to defy. Something inside of them will say, look, the blind eyes, the deaf ears, the dumb speak, the dead are raised. Hallelujah. And that's what we're after. Now, turn right back to Acts 17. A couple more scriptures there. How many of you believe that Paul really bragged on the church at Thessalonica? I mean, bragged on them, said that they did a good job receiving the word, and receiving the demonstration. Now, this is what I want you to see here. It's just real simple. There's no... may not be no wow out of this, but it's powerful if you follow it and understand it. We read all the way up to 9, verse 9, didn't we? This is where they took security of Jason. That's the place. That's the fellow that Paul was staying at his house in Thessalonica. So this devil that stirred up stuff in Philippi, he's stirring up stuff in Thessalonica. And now Paul has to leave Thessalonica, just like he did Philippi. Well, he's headed to a place called Berea. And the brethren, verse 10, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, which coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Wow, Paul, let me guess. Give me just one guess. I bet I know what you're going to do. I bet when you get to Berea, I bet you're going to go in there, open the Word, and start teaching out of the Word again. The Scriptures again, it'll be your base. And I'll bet you that signs and wonders are going to follow. Hallelujah. I bet there's power going to... you don't have to even, you know, you can just see this thing unfolding. And this is what Luke says. Remember, we just covered Thessalonica, Paul's own review. It was his review of what happened. And he couldn't have given them a better review. He said there was power, demonstration in that sense of the word, Holy Ghost fell. He just bragged on them to the point that they captured his heart. He said, if I could have given any more than the word, I would have. I don't know what else I could have gave you except myself, and I don't know how to do that. But Look what Luke says concerning their next evangelistic tour here. Paul and Silas left by night and went into Berea, who cometh therein, went into the synagogue of the Jews. And he says this in verse 11, and these were more noble than those in preceding, where? Thessalonica. The Thessalonians or the Thessalonica. Now, I was going to bring out, and I didn't do it, but it's okay, because it probably serves best that I didn't, because I don't want to belabor this. But I had a word study, New Testament, and I'm not a Greek scholar. It's real easy. You just look up the word. You go to the New Testament. And, of course, if you got a concordance like a Strong, it'll give you an abbreviated kind of definition. If you got more extensive books, you can get the synonymous terms, synonyms that actually go along with it, root words. And you can get real flowery with it, and it really can be a good thing at times. And but the other thing is that you can pour more into it than is necessary, and you can overstate things. But really, if you look at this word noble, it carries quite a wallop with it, because it does describe an excellency and a higher way and a more noble way, and something even, and I'm just kind of remembering some of the things that it said, something above and beyond. And so this is the compliment that Luke said. Luke said these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, I just got the review of Thessalonica. We just read that. Those guys were incredible. What would be more noble than what they did? I mean, you know, and how they received the word. What would be more noble? Luke explains that to us here. He says, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with, first of all, catch this, readiness of mind. Okay? Means they were not closed-minded. They didn't have a condemning kind of closure-type spirit. They wanted to receive, and they were open to receive. So they had the same kind of spirit that was at these of Berea had the same kind of spirit of those at Thessalonica. So they said, okay, we're watching this. We feel the Holy Spirit in it. You're showing us out of Scripture because that's your custom, Paul. But he says they received it with a readiness of mind, number one. And number two, they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Now, wait a minute. This is Paul. This is the apostle. I'm sure he didn't carry the tag with him then that he carries now, the appreciation tag. But there was demonstration, because he said that about Thessalonica. He had to go with the same anointing to Berea. It had to create a readiness in the hearts and the minds of the people. But Luke says, look, there was a higher order of things that were exhibited in Berea than even Thessalonica. There was a higher order of things exhibited in Berea. And he said, this, you received it with a readiness of mind. Well, that's what was going on in Thessalonica. Then the next thing was, they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them by Scripture was really true and applicable to them. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Now, he was working out a power, and he was talking to them out of the Scripture, but Luke says the Bereans were of another level, a more excellent level, because they took what Paul was saying, received it, and said, okay, Paul, we receive it to this level. Let's go and let us digest it. Let us see if the things that you're saying... Because look, Paul was not... First of all, I'll say this. Paul was new. It was an entry level. Let me say this in clarification. You'll always have this available. Me. Anyone. This availability of freedom. Just because there is a work going on with demonstration, just because the word is coming. Sometimes we, as those who want to go forward with an acceptable or readiness of mind can have the inclination of thought without even saying it out loud. If I question what is already seemingly the Word, if I question what is already a demonstration to me openly, am I abating or coming against in some ill manner the work of the Holy Spirit? Because obviously we all want to be free, don't we? We don't want to do anything to restrict the Holy Spirit. And I think you'll get some good things out of the things that Gary said in those two tapes. But this is what Luke said about the Bereans. Paul did this. He demonstrated it. And he gave them the Word. He doesn't condemn them. In fact, he gives them a blue ribbon of exhortation to say, look, you took this thing to another level than even the Thessalonians. They believed it. They received it. They saw the power and they saw what was exhibited. You took it to a level that said, look, we want to see it for ourselves out of Scripture. We want the Holy Spirit to confirm the doctrine that is being given us, the truth that is being given to us. We want that truth confirmed to us personally. What are you saying, Pastor? In simplicity, there's a lot of wonderful things going on out there. We don't want to stop anything. We don't want to abate anything in your hearts. We want to provide this. We want to provide this kind of heart, this kind of mentality, that no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, even with the Word being quoted, that it's all right. It's even acceptable and even noble that until things are totally confirmed to you by Scripture and by the continuity of everything that the Holy Spirit has built in you in doctrine, and I say that word as in truth, that it's okay for you to go and say, the Holy Spirit is not looking to you to say, look, swallow all the pill or none of it at all. That's not the choice. In any movement, in any revival, in anything that comes down the road, and I say that respectively, we have to understand this, that if Paul was questioned. Now, as I said, you can always, not that I have to give you this, it's yours by heritage. You can always search and see if the things that I'm saying to you, anybody, Gary Carpenter, I just use that name because that's we just kind of recommended some messages of his. But the further you go in a person's ministry, there is a relaxation in a sense of the word that you don't have to keep your guard up as strong as long as your father or a father of the faith. This was an entry level. It was an entry level. They were first being introduced to Paul. He hadn't been there before. They wanted to see if Paul's ministry was really what it was cracked up to be. He was having to gain and earn their spiritual respect. So that is applicable. It's proper. I hope you don't feel like you have to guard against everything I have to say. I hope you don't feel like you have the right to go home, get the tape, listen, look at it, whatever. But I hope after years of ministry, you feel you can let your hair down in that sense of the word, you know. And this is what was going on with the Bereans. They hadn't got to know Paul, and they needed to know. So I'm simply saying this, in continuity with everything that Gary is saying. There's things that are going on. There are wonderful things that are going on. But there are things that you need to, if you're going to be involved in any way, it's all right for you to say, I need to continue to check things out. I need to continue to check things out. And you don't have to feel like either I swallowed all or none of it. Kenneth Hagin was a man that I love so much. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Kenneth Hagin was a man, he was a spiritual man. He was a Word man. If anybody loved the Word, it was Kenneth Hagin. He said by his own admission, I'm a stickler for the Word. I remember him talking about visions that he had. And it was so wonderful because here's a Word man that loves the Word, but had these wonderful, wonderful, heavenly experiences. A few times, not every day, but a few times in his life, he testified, and I believed him. If you followed Kenneth Hagin, I believe you'd believe him also. He had the kind of experiences where he would, and he was so amazing, because if you ever followed his life, he was healed. And he talks about as a young Baptist boy on the bed of affliction and on and on and on. It's so wonderful, you know. And he learned to get up off the bed of affliction just with no tingles, but with the Word of God. And so he fell in love with the Word of God. He didn't divorce himself from the Holy Spirit, but he fell in love with the Word of God by getting healed just by the Word of God. As a result of that, being such a stickler for the Word, God could trust him. And he would say it like this: Jesus walked through the wall, sit down. And if you ever heard any of his tapes, old tapes, he would tell you in infinite detail, you know, the time that it happened. He tells you about the time that his healing took place. Now, when he talks about Jesus coming in, a few times he would say, and for 1.5 earth hours, because he'd tell you, for 1.5 earth hours, Jesus sat right across in his glorified body and talked to me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, please, Jesus. Did you know what I love about him? Now, he said this, and if it offended the Lord, then he I don't know why he ever showed up again, but it didn't offend him. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this when Jesus was telling him something one time and about instruction and stuff, because he also knew that if there was a truth, there was also a counterfeit. I remember him saying this, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how could you say that? But then I knew where he was at with the Lord. I knew the place of integrity and the place that the Lord saw him as. The Lord's talking to him, and the Lord starts in, or the Lord may have gotten the whole message over to him, and how long that lasted, I can't remember. But he told the Lord this before he ended. He said, if you can't give me word for this vision that I'm having right now, I'm not going to receive this as being you. That's powerful. You're sitting there, there's got to be glory in the room. It'd take me a while for my hair to come back down. Actually, I think there'll be such a peace if you have those experiences that it'll just encompass the whole room where you can receive it, because your natural body and mind would just, you know, you couldn't. But he said to the Lord, if you don't give me scripture on this, I'm not receiving it. I'm not going to receive this as being from you. So the Lord had to exhort him, give him scripture. He received it. Now, another thing to be said along that lines concerning Kenneth Hagin, and this will give a balance to you also, because Gary's trying to provide that balance in your thought process. I remember another vision he had. He was talking about that he had finished a service or something. He was still in the anointing, and he turned and Jesus was on the, or maybe he was praying. It's been a while. He turned and Jesus was on the stage. And I'm not talking about like you and I'll have, sometimes you'll say, Pastor, I saw a vision. You may have seen a vision if you explain it to me in this sense of the word, but most of our visions are inward visions. We can see it. Sometimes it looks literal to us, but I'm talking about like, you know, if Fred was up there, you know, that literal. Jesus was literally there, but above him, like from what I understand, Jesus, I think, was seated, and standing above him on the stage was an angel. Now, Jesus began to talk to him, and he began to hear what the Lord was saying, and he would listen. But curiously, as we all would do, his panoramic view, his peripheral vision, caught the angel behind him, and he was able to see that. Every time that he would look up, he would lift his eyes. He was trying to focus on Jesus, give him his full attention. Of course you would. But the angel has his attention also. So every time he looks up, this warrior-looking guy standing there, from what I remember, he said he would open his mouth like, you know how
somebody's listening to you and me talk, and then they're trying to break in on the conversation, but they don't want to be rude, you know. And so he would look up, and that guy, he called him the angel, he'd want to say something. So finally, Jesus concluded, come to a pause, and he said, I want to ask you something. He said, what is he doing? He said, what is he doing? He said, well, he's got a message for you. So Kenneth Hagin was like, I don't understand this. You know, now what's the deal here? He said, you're sitting here, and you're Lord, you're talking to me. You know, why don't you just tell me what he's got to say? So then I'll have this a little sketchy because it's been years since I heard this and him tell it, or I don't think I read it. I know it was him saying it pretty much. He said the Lord said to him, because I used to listen to a lot of Kenneth Hagin. He said, listen. Basically didn't rebuke him for being the word stickler. But he probably had to break it down like this. These are messengers sent. You know, Hebrews talks about how that they are servants sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, soteria. Okay, the Lord's there, but he said he's got a message from your Father, because he attends before your Father all the time. And he said, listen, don't get so religious in the sense of the word. And so the Lord, I'm sure, confirmed it by his word to him, like, okay, here's the answer that you're needing. But, son, he said, listen, he's got something that the Father sent him on a mission to give you. So just simply receive it. Listen to it. So Kenneth Hagin said it took some religion out of him. It took a place where, okay, the Father can use these guys. But here's the thing. It always boils down to this. Jesus gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the glory. And even when this minister of God was giving him a message, Jesus was present to let him know it's okay. This is what I would exhort you on in the days to come. Doctrine, and I say that, if I'll clarify, it's truth. One of the things that my pastor talks about, and I believe it's so, that what God wants more than anything else is that the proceedings to the great outpouring be a revival of doctrine, soundness of mind and sanity, so that the finest minds will be able to come into the church and say, look, God is truth. He's doing something. Now, when something initially breaks out, sometimes it'll look like, wow, it's really, really wild. If the fathers are allowed to be the fathers, they won't extinguish it, but they'll bring it into an order that Paul brings the church order into and says, look, consider this. Allow the Spirit to move, but not in confusion. And he talks about the order of the church in the book of Corinthians. I would, if I hold any fathership at all, only God judges that. But if I hold any words, I would say this. In the moves ahead, whether it be in Immokalee, Tulsa, any place on planet Earth, make sure that Jesus is getting all the glory. Rick Joyner, I read something he wrote the other day. I really appreciated that. He said no matter where all this goes, and he was talking perspectively towards some things that were taking place in his ministry and the ministry of some others, he said, It's got to go, if it's true, it's got to go back to glorifying Jesus. And the main goal will be this, Christ in you. Christ in you, like the love of God, the character of God, the wholesomeness of everything that the Holy Spirit is. Be careful, and I say this with gentleness and love, be careful of anyone in truth, judging things in truth, that gives too much reference to angels. Like if they say, the angel told me this, and the angel told me that, and the angel... The Holy Spirit has been given to lead and to guide us into all truth. Understand that. those things can get off. And we want you to understand that great miracles can be taking place in the midst of error. In the midst of error. I mentioned Sunday that encounters with counterfeit is not necessarily meaning that you're evil. It may, if you embrace it and do not do something about it, it can create things. My own pastor had an encounter with something that tried to get involved, and he so adequately, by the grace of God, got past it. And then he taught on it. He taught on it for the whole body of Christ. You remember, how many of you remember when Pastor Dave taught on the false angels and how that they came? And you know, some of you are not aware of that, but it's a good thing. And it's not to scare you. It's just to let you know that there are some wonderful things that are taking place and are going to take place. But we have to judge everything. And there are counterfeits that are taking place. And Pastor Dave taught on those things, and he kind of gave us some ammunition also. Now he's in a seeking time, and he continue to pray for him. Would you do that, please? Would you pray for Pastor Dave as often as you think about it? Judge everything according to the Word. You know, if there are manifestations that are taking place anywhere, and I haven't really necessarily heard about any particular manifestations that I may mention right now in any of the places that I'm thinking of, but stick to the Word. Stick to the Word and let God be God. Okay? Things like gold dusting, they're not in the Word. Some of you are looking like, what is that? I won't explain that in entirety right now. Most of you that are around here, I'm just mentioning for home crowd. Oil is mentioned in the Word of God. It is. James Call says that they could anoint with the oil. It is never mentioned in the Word of God where in Christ's ministry or the apostles' ministry that someone began to be absorbed in oil to prove that there was an anointing there. Now, even if those things show up in different places, like I said, don't throw the baby out with the bath. Just pray that the fathers step up and be fathers. And that the fathers, because I don't have a voice in a lot of things that are going on right now. But some people that are good men and wonderful men that have a sound doctrine or have access into sound doctrine can father some of these things. Now, if there was a lot going on in Immokalee, which there will be one day, you and I'll have things to say about that. And we do have things to say about these in a congenial sense so that you understand, okay? But stick to the Word. And also don't get religious. But the Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, will keep you from getting religious. Hallelujah. Amen. How many enjoyed the Word tonight? Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God.